The 6th annual Theater Kalamazoo New Play Festival is coming up February 5th and 6th at the Epic Center Theater. I'm here with Steve Pfeffer, an associate professor of playwriting at Western Michigan University and co-organizer of the event. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Oh, it's my pleasure again to be here.
Yeah, let's talk about the festival's guest artist, playwright Adam Simkowitz. Hopefully I'll continue to say that correctly. I know that he's written things like Hearts Like Fists, Clown Bar, Pretty Theft, Nerve, and several other plays. He's a member of the Dramatists Guild and Writers Guild of America, and he's also won 2 Le Comte de Noy Awards. How did you decide on this year's guest artist?
Well, this has been a really nice feature of the festival now. We started this last year, and that was enfolding our Gwen Frostick reading series that we do in the English department into the festival. And last year couldn't have worked out better. We had Deepika Guha, who's just a wonderful writer, wonderful guest. And the idea was to bring a nationally known playwright into the festival to not only, in keeping with the theme of the festival, read a new work, but also he's going to be doing a workshop with our playwrights, which Deepika did last year. He's going to answer questions, and there's going to be a reception with him, and that starts at 7 p.m., the choice of Adam, I think, has to do with he's a really challenging writer. I think some of the theatricalities he works with are really distinct. He sent us a couple of plays, but one of them that we're looking at right now that we're considering doing, it's an immersive theatrical event. And in his conception of the play, I don't know if we're going to be doing this, but in his conception of the play, members of the audience would be chosen to take the leads in the play. And someone would be following them around and whispering in their ear. And the audience separates and sees 3 different plays, in a sense, or 3 different moments in the play before they all come together. And so this is a new play he's working on. To what extent we could do all this because it's a reading is more difficult, but I think he wants to hear the play. But that's the kind of, you know, that's what they give that award you mentioned for. Now, he's a really challenging and, you know, writer. He's literary manager at Juilliard, so he's a playwright who just knows a lot of playwrights and sees a lot of good work. So the combination of the fact that he does do such challenging, innovative work, the fact that he's so knowledgeable about plays and playwriting in the contemporary scene made him, I think, a really good guest for us.
Now, explain a little bit about the audience seeing different pieces of the play and then coming back together. Does that mean that you'll ask some of the audience members to leave?
Again, we may not be able to do this for the reading because it's not conducive, say, to the set, but it's a kind of immersive theatrical experience that's been done. I've seen it done... there's a wonderful play by Cuban-American playwright Maria Irene Fornes where at a midpoint in the play, the audience is divided into fourths and some they go to separate rooms. I've seen it done in a house where each of the 4 groups go to a different room in the house. And this has become a kind of theater that we're seeing more and more of. It started with kind of site-specific theater. En Garde Arts was doing plays like on the steps of Wall Street or on bridges in Central Park. And now we're seeing this kind of immersive theatrical event where in the culmination of Adam's play, the audience like winds up at the bar having drinks and like so, and then the play kind of takes place around them there. So whether to what extent we can do, especially since we don't have a bar, I hope that won't keep people from coming out. But we, to what extent we could do that, but I think he wants to hear his play. You know, it's a new play. But one of the things we really like about it, as Deepika did last year, we've asked the playwrights not to bring their best-known work, but in keeping with the theme of the festival, to bring something new that we can develop and work and give them a chance to hear. And the playwrights have really responded, you know, wonderfully to that. But that's become a really nice event. So the playwrights, like I said, are going to have a workshop with him, but the audience can come hear his new work at 7 o'clock, ask him questions, and then there's a reception with him afterwards prior to the 10-minute plays at 9 o'clock. That's Friday night.
And then, you know, because of the nature of the new play festival, where it is a reading, mm-hmm. you know, that's totally possible for members of the audience to come up and at least attempt
Right. For the record, we are still debating how effective that's going to be, because in his conception of it, there's someone sort of behind the actor who would do it, whispering in their ear, and which is, it's an interesting experiment. I've had this conversation with my students, and I think it's perhaps a misconception that people have about playwriting, because they'll often say, well, do you have ideally how you want the play to sound in your mind? And it's not entirely true. I mean, I think there's ranges of feelings that one can imagine. Because I've said to my students, if you could stand behind your actors and whisper in their ear exactly how you wanted the lines to be said, I think you'd hate your play. Because all that sort of alive or spontaneous, you know, wouldn't really exist, you know. And so it's a cool experiment. He's an exciting writer.
Now, the setup of this year's festival is very interesting, where we only have one-act play, and all of the rest are 10-minute plays.
Right.
You know, how did that come about?
I think, you know, we call for submissions back in August, and I would encourage everyone to submit. I hope people will continue to submit their new plays. People get started writing your play now. And a lot of it is, it's an interesting selection process, because first of all, we're so fortunate in Kalamazoo that we're able to have 12 or 13 theaters. It's really amazing for a town of this size, let alone that we have a new play festival. So the selection process is kind of twofold. First of all, we want to like the plays, so we get plays that we may like, but then the plays have to be a good fit with the theaters that are working with us. So all the theaters are ongoing producing organizations, and the Playfest can be, any kind of production opportunity can be time consuming and intensive. So in terms of being able to do more 10 minutes involving more theaters, in terms of the plays that we got, I think in the selection process was just a really good batch of 10-minute plays this year. And then the theaters that could say do a big one act like the Civic were less available, say, this year. Not that they wouldn't do it necessarily, but this way we're able to involve more playwrights, and we like the 10-minute plays. Playwrights can submit a 10-minute or a one act. So in some cases, we may have one act and a 10-minute from the playwright, but went with the 10-minute.
So one play that sticks out to me is Lyrical Invasion by Vaughn Washington Sr., and this is actually a commissioned piece from Theater Kalamazoo, the organization that's putting on the Playfest. You know, why commission this work?
Again, this is another aspect of the festival that's evolved over the 5 or 6 years that we've done it. And, you know, we have so much playwriting talent in Kalamazoo. People are working as professional playwrights, you know, like I do, like Vaughn does, other people. And it was an opportunity to reach out to people for a new play. Again, in keeping with the theme of the festival, we wanted a new work, something written for us. And that's become, again, you know, something to build an evening around. Like, we're very excited to have a new play by Vaughn. It's just always so terrific to work with. And it's a really exciting contemporary piece about the origins of race and how one imagines their ancestry, and both the importance of sort of understanding where one comes from, but also understanding that that's not always so simple. And so we have a play about that from Vaughn that I think is really engaging and theatrically exciting, and also, you know, very thought-provoking.
And, you know, I'm not sure if we want to give this away or not, but it seems like, from what I understand, there are kind of three categories of characters: black, brown, and white, and they're both tied to different emotions, which I think is really interesting.
I think the play has an exciting theatricality to it, because on one hand, it functions realistically as a group of writers and individuals trying to get a story told. But there's this very uncertain, non-realistic element to it that gives the play this kind of very engaging and mysterious, almost like allegorical texture to it. And I was sort of watching the play rehearse on Saturday. And I was struck, on one hand, you could be in any sort of writer's room, realistic writer's room, seeing these kind of arguments take place. But there's a part of it, Vaughn will be happy me saying, but this kind of, you know, Samuel Beckett, this kind of Beckettian element that has this mystery to it, almost allegory to it, that works very well. I mean, ultimately, Vaughn, you know, he's such a good actor and understands characters so well that the play, first and foremost, I think functions. You feel like you're in this room with those writers, but it's hard not to feel this mystery about origin and ancestry that's the kind of main trigger in the play.
So since we only have one-act play, let's talk about it.
It's Spendthrift Lovers.
Yeah, Spendthrift Lovers by R.D. Rivers, produced by The Civic.
And to me, this is a play that's all that's great about the festival. It's one of our community playwrights. And it's a play about prostitutes in Hawaii during in the immediate aftermath of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And it's tonally very wonderful. It's a kind of rallying labor piece, almost, you know, kind of Liz Estrada-esque in the withholding of sex from the soldiers for the promise of better working conditions. And but it's both big, historical, funny, and really unique kind of character study about the commitments that one makes in terms of larger social pictures and labor with these group of prostitutes, but also keeping one's own personal commitments. There's a madam and her lover who are of mixed race, and in some ways it's about the way in which the madam is balancing these larger issues of getting what's best for the people who works for her, but also trying to maintain this very intense and difficult personal relationship given the backdrop of Hawaii and World War II.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, I think I had a great moment where I thought about, like, what's exciting about the festival in terms of our community playwrights, because there was a moment we were sitting around the table giving notes, and the playwright said to me, she's like, we were talking about a moment that had to do with the point of the, someone was improvising a line, and I was kind of talking to her about, was the playwright, you know, that's your final say. We operate under strict Dramatists Guild rules, and you know, you make sure you want that. I was kind of talking to her about, you know, before you have it in the play. And she said, well, you know, I'm a farmer. And I was like, well, you know, when you're in here, you're a playwright. When you're in this room, you're a playwright. And those are the choices you make. But I think that exchange is what's so wonderful about the festival in terms of involving community writers. And this place really, you know, nicely big and, like I said, funny and uses historical backdrop, but also very undercurrent of deep sadness because of sort of involvement of race and discrimination.
Are there any other 10-minute plays that really stick out to you this year?
God, I think you asked me that last year, and it's like choosing between my children. Now, but they, I think, again, with the festival, it is the range of work that people will be seeing that I think is most striking. And if you look at the 10-minute festival, the 5 10-minute plays, the range of work from broader but dark comedy to plays that deal with loss, like, so for example, the play Fly Birdie is about a woman who can't let go of this man who's left her and her daughter who's a young artist. And in, I think, the best 10-minute plays, you feel like you've seen a whole life in 10 minutes. And that play really does this. This woman just can't let go of this man who's been, you know, has left her, has left her on her own. And it's about how her daughter, who's a young artist, is trying to move her off that. Rent Cycle, which is about a romance that takes place in a laundromat between two people who may or may not get together. And then you have At the Zoo, which is about a zookeeper and three anthropomorphized animals all dealing with the loss of a child in some regard. And it finds a really amazing stage metaphor for that loss with the individual animals. And Front Porch is about two men discovering what their relationship means. So really different. Sound of Roadkill is about a woman going to get an abortion in Milwaukee and having to deal with choices in her relationship. So the subject matter couldn't be more broad and different, and the tones couldn't be more broad and different. And the fact that they can coexist in the same festival, I think our audiences will really appreciate.
Mm. There do seem to be a few themes that are poking out, though. Racism is definitely one.
Mm-hmm.
And also it seems like loss of a child is another, whether or not that's, intentional or not.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other themes that are kind of striking out this year?
I think in general we're seeing plays where the exploration of what it means to be on the margins and what the cost of that is. Like I talked about in terms of the full-length play, where even in this sort of marginalized society of the prostitutes on the island, there's marginalization that they're struggling with that even exists within that. But there's a really beautiful play, Tabby and the Infinite Possibilities of Liquid Hand Soap. It's about two young girls who, on the morning they're supposed to go to school, one of the girls who may or may not be, autistic, and the intense feelings and fear she has about having to go to school and what people will say about her. I'm actually, getting like chills just thinking about one of the moments in the play. I almost don't want to give it away, but it really, to watch one of the characters who seems to be able to enjoy this freedom of movement and being able to go anywhere, and this other character who feels so stuck and can't even go to school, it's very powerful. But yeah, I think that the folks feeling marginalized, even in their own interpersonal relationships or in society at large, seems to be a large or broader theme in the play.
Anything else new about the festival this year, or anything that you think it's important for listeners to know?
I think, to me, what I was struck by in looking at run-throughs on Saturday is I hope, because people hear that these are script-in-hand stage readings, and we do script-in-hand readings, as I said last year, that's a very conscious artistic choice because we want our playwrights to be able to rewrite up until their play goes up. The festival is for developing plays. There's an old expression, there's no such thing as a perfect play except for Chekhov's Uncle Vanya. And since we're not doing Uncle Vanya, all these other plays are developed and bringing out what's great in them and working some things with their questions. But I was struck, it's a long way of getting to, I was struck by, even though the actors have script in hand, there's so many moments of amazing theatricality. Like watching that Tabby play, it's easy to forget there's scripts in hand. There was a moment that was as moving as anything I've seen in the theater in the last year. So powerful, so theatrical, because we fully move through all the plays. We have lighting for all the plays. Same thing I was watching At the Zoo, and there's a moment of theatricality with this actor playing a gorilla and clutching this child. Again, it's easy to forget they have scripts. It's so alive. It's everything that is terrific about the theater. The tension in the room in rehearsal is just palpable. And so I'd want people to know that yes, these are script in hand and the actors are going to be carrying script, but there's lights, they're moving through the plays. And when these readings really fire, which is in so many of them, it's easy to forget they have the scripts in hand. Often they have such creative uses of them too, how they sometimes use their script. But I feel that would be something I'd want people, if you haven't been to a new play festival or reading, if you're imagining that it's just people at music stands reading plays, that's not what it is. The Adam Sienkiewicz reading may be that, just it's a different, there's not as much rehearsal and that's a different beast. But all the other plays, lights, sound, tech, moving through the play, they just happen to have scripts because that's the goal is to serve the play and work the play.
All right. Well, Steve Pfeffer, co-organizer of the Theater Kalamazoo New Play Festival and associate professor of playwriting at Western Michigan University, thank you so much You can attend the festival for free February 5th and 6th at the Epic Center Theater in downtown Kalamazoo.
Thank you so much.